today we're building. Going up, building high above the ground. I helped put up a building and helped take one down. I test elevators in a special elevator testing tower. You can't be afraid of heights, not when you're those guys.
We're these guys.
There's a race to the top.
The city was gonna build the highest skyscraper.
I beat him, of course.
Just barely.
We're exploring from the ground up.
Come with us.
It's popular mechanics for kids!
This building is solid.
But it didn't start out solid. What we're standing on was once in liquid form.
To build up the building, you have to pump the concrete up one floor at a time.
And it's a race against the clock.
Come on, I'll show you. It's 4 a.m, and these trucks are on a mission. They're delivering concrete to this building. We're in Dallas, Texas, and they're pouring the 5th floor of this new high-rise. It gets so hot during the day that the concrete would harden faster than they could spread it, so it's a race against the clock.
That's right, Alicia. If we don't get this concrete placed and finished and smoothed out before the chemical reaction is already started, so we can't stop it.
So then what happens?
Well, it would dry up just however it was on the deck, or it could even dry up in the truck, so we better get busy.
So what do we do first?
First, we have to empty this concrete truck into this concrete pump. Okay. You do that starting with this handle here. Pull that down.
So the pump pushes the concrete through this tube up to the 5th floor?
Yeah, you got the hang of it. Let's go see.
Okay. How many floors are we going to be going up?
We've got 5 floors we got to go up. The concrete goes through this boom truck and onto the deck, and they can move it around from spot to spot.
So as it empties, the workers spread it around until it covers these bars.
That's right. Care to give it a try?
Sure. Oh, this thing's really heavy. It's a lot harder than I thought. You have to be strong in the arms.
Alicia, after we get it leveled out like this, this is what we call a float. This is what we use to get it a lot more smooth and make a real nice smooth floor.
Just glide it across the top.
You got it.
Oh, this is fun. I like this part. So this kind of like lawnmower with no wheels, that also smoothens out the surface?
Actually, it's a trowel machine, and what it does, they ride on it and it spins around in circles and it makes the surface real nice and smooth and flat. So we better get out of the way while they get up here and go to work, because this concrete's gonna harden and in a couple hours we'll be walking on it.
Okay.
What?
Huh? Huh?
A hard hat doesn't really seem like it could withstand much, but they are stronger than they look. A hard hat is designed with an arch, the strongest load-bearing geometric shape. Way back when people first started constructing multi-level buildings, the floors were known as arches because that's what they were made of. To make hard hats stronger, they are usually ridged with several more arches. Hard hats are tested before use and must be able to withstand a 10-pound or 5-kilogram weight drop from 5 feet or 1.5 meters to pass inspection.
I thought while the roof was drying, we'd take some time and meet Dr. Concrete. He's going to help us understand how to make concrete.
Hi, Alicia.
Hi. Now, is your name really Dr. Concrete?
No, my real name is Rich, but I have a PhD in civil engineering materials, and all my friends call me Dr. Concrete. Now, the important thing to understand about concrete is that cement is not concrete. Cement is only part of concrete. By mixing cement with water, we get the paste or glue that holds the sand and rock together. When we mix that paste with the sand, we get a mortar, and then by mixing it with the rocks, we get the concrete.
Okay. It feels slimy.
Looks great, Alicia. You've just made concrete.
That's it? We're finished?
That's it. In fact, if we let this set and harden, it would look just like this. So, Alicia, now that you've tried making concrete in the lab, are you ready to try the real thing?
I think I'm ready. What do you think?
Sure, go for it.
You'll just watch out there and just bring it up slowly. Blow your horn. Truck's loaded.
That was fun. Why does the drum spin?
Well, that keeps the concrete moving so it won't set up inside the truck.
So what's the worst experience you've had with the concrete hardening?
Well, one time the truck got caught in traffic and the drum stopped spinning, so the concrete set up and got hard inside the truck. We had to throw the whole truck away.
Say here, Alicia, it's only been a couple hours later and this concrete's set up as hard as a rock.
I know, it looks amazing. Hey, look what I found at Dr. Concrete's lab. It's a concrete frisbee.
Wow. You want to try to play catch with it?
Yeah. While concrete may be good for building, when it comes to playing frisbee, I think I'll stick to plastic.
Most skyscrapers look like big glass boxes. But not all. Some architects get their ideas from things in everyday life. In New York City, there's the Chrysler Building. It was designed to look like the company's cars. Woolworth's is a Gothic church. And the Lipstick Building? Well, that's easy. Can you tell that one of the tallest buildings in the world, Chicago's Sears Towers, is supposed to look like rock crystal? Petronas Towers, another of the world's tallest, is in Malaysia, a Muslim country. So, it's designed to look like Islamic mosques. Shanghai's Jin Mao looks like a Chinese pagoda. Hong Kong's new convention center is a bird. Yokohama's landmark tower is taken from Japanese women's combs. The Tokyo City Hall looks like a computer chip. And Hong Kong's Lippo Building takes the cake. Apparently, it's supposed to look like a koala bear in a tree.
Okay, what floor?
How about all of them?
Jay!
I love pushing buttons.
But it's not fair for everyone else. Good thing I watched a lot of cartoons. I knew to jump at the last second.
I should have tested this elevator.
No, you shouldn't have pressed all those buttons. Let that be a lesson to all you button-happy people.
Yeah. High-rises are usually built in places where space is very limited, like downtown in most cities. But this is no downtown. I'm at the Otis Test Tower in the middle of Connecticut. This is the center of the universe when it comes to developing and testing elevators. An An elevator gets put through its paces here to make sure it's safe. It's elevator boot camp. I'm here to basically find out one thing. Are elevators safe?
So we see it in Hollywood movies all the time. People will be taking the elevator and a cable snaps and they'll race to their bloody doom. Could that happen in real life?
Hollywood is very good at creating those scenes and those special effects. In fact, we're looking at the 7 steel cables that support our elevator. Now, if we were to cut 6 of the 7 cables, this last cable would support the full weight of the cab and the counterweight system.
So just one of these could hold the entire elevator?
That is correct. One would hold the whole elevator.
Even if you cut all the cables, it wouldn't fall into the pit. A motion sensor detects the speed of the elevator and releases emergency brakes. There are wedges on the car called safeties. The safeties push against the guide rails in the shaft. The elevator stops.
So basically, no matter what, people are safe.
People are safe, and we have many, many devices and many, many tests that we perform to ensure the elevators are safe.
They subject the elevators to extreme changes in climate. That helps them build ones that won't break down. They also test to make sure that the radio frequencies from things like cell phones don't interfere with the elevator controls. Otherwise, the elevator could stop and people would get stuck inside.
Now, architects keep making buildings higher and higher and higher. Does that mean you have to make elevators that are faster and faster and faster?
When we design faster elevators, we make sure that we don't accelerate too quickly such that the passenger has a discomfort. Yeah, has experienced any discomfort.
That was fast! Man, these guys are really on top of things. What do they think of next? Well, I'm out of here. Scotty, beam me up.
The biggest skyscrapers in the world rise about 100 stories above the ground. But there's no reason to stop there. Super scrapers will be twice that tall. This is the design from the Millennium Tower in Tokyo Bay. It will be 170 stories tall. The Illinois Tower is designed to be a mile high. Almost 1 million people could live in Tokyo's floating X-Seed project. It's over 2 miles high.
Engineers have known how to build safe super scrapers for years, but they've held off building them because the elevators are too slow. You'd have to wait forever for one. Enter the Odyssey, the elevator of the future. Not only will it travel fast enough to get to the top of a super scraper quickly, but it will move horizontally because these buildings will be too big to walk from one side to the other.
I'm Dave, transparent wall technician. That means I clean windows. Okay, the first thing we do when we get onto the roof of the building is we attach our safety ropes. We throw them over the edge of the building and we attach them onto the big U-bolt on the track. And then we attach the main suspension cable to the end of the beam. So now what we're doing is we're going to feed the main suspension line into the motor. And what happens is the motor pulls the stage up to the roof. Okay, this is how we're gonna clean the window. Grab the hairbrush, make it nice and shiny. I rag the top of the frame so you don't get drips and the customer complains. You never take your squeegee off the window. I find if I take the squeegee off the window, I end up running into problems such as drips and streaks all over. And there you have it, boys and girls. Now we're going down to the next window. One of the funniest things that's happened to me on a high rise, I come down in front of the window and a lady came out of the bathroom and it just so happened she didn't have anything on. She just come out of the shower. I didn't know whether to put more suds on the window or hit the power button to get down out of there. See those guys over there? They're stuck there. They've been there for about 3 hours now, waiting for their boss to show up to give them power. You have to think very quickly and come up with some pretty creative solutions on how to fix the problem.
Have you ever stood next to a really tall building, looked up, and felt like the building was swaying back and forth?
See, that's just an illusion. But tall buildings really do sway, and you can see this by using our model. Okay, guys, are you ready? Blow! See, wind causes the building to sway back and forth. Oh! guys, whoa.
I'm looking for wind, not rain.
Our measuring device shows that the building is not swaying. That's because the wind speed is low. But when it's faster, you can actually see the building sway. Okay, guys, that's enough air.
Now, wind tends to blow harder, higher up. It literally puts tons and tons of pressure on the upper part of the skyscraper. So some sway is normal. The Twin Towers in New York are 110 stories high, and they sway back and forth as much as a meter. Well, that's an easy 3 feet. But if a building sways too much, it can actually make people on the highest floors nauseous. They get this queasy feeling in their stomach. And the more a building moves, the louder it creaks, which can be kind of scary.
So to cut down on movement, buildings over 60 floors have steel beams strapped around them like belts. And many even have something like this.
A huge weight hanging from the top of the building. Now, this one is called a tuned mass damper. And if it were actual size, it would weigh a couple hundred thousand pounds. So when the building sways in one direction, the weight swings in the other direction, which lets the building sway less. It's pretty cool, huh?
Apocalyptic storm coming! Everybody take cover! No!
The year was 1945. The place, New York City. It was a dark and stormy night. Somehow a B-25 bomber got off course. Boom! It flew straight into the Empire State Building. It almost went out the other side, but the building held firm. The resulting fire didn't spread to the rest of the building, but 14 people died, and a lot of others were hurt by the falling debris. Massive buildings of concrete and steel blown away at a push of a button.
2, 1, fire!
It might look quick and easy, but it has to be done right. A slight miscalculation can send debris flying the wrong direction, causing damage to the street or to the building next door. And in rare cases, even hurt someone. It's called imploding, demolishing a building without even as much as breaking the windows next door. And that's the special challenge. They're gonna blow up this old apartment building right beside this house.
Hi, Alicia.
Hi. This is Jim Redike. He and his crew are prepping the building. Wow, this place is like totally gutted. That's to minimize the amount of debris that would fly during the explosion. Think of the pillars as legs on a chair. Take out a leg, and you know which direction the chair will fall. Same thing with the pillars of a building. So this is where the dynamite's put?
Right, that's where the explosives will be placed.
So Alicia, do you want to help me load a hole?
Yeah, sure. Is it safe?
Yeah, it's safe. This is the electric blasting cap, and it actually sets off the stick of dynamite.
Right.
So we place this in like this. Everything is safe until we wire all the wires up and go to the blasting machine. So take that stick and put it in the hole there.
Okay.
Smash it in the hole. Once all the blasting caps are wired together, we seal off the floor and nobody else is allowed in.
So that's why you got me pouring the powder? If any intruders come tomorrow before we return for the blast, we'll see their footsteps?
That's right, Alicia.
After we place the explosives, we wrap the blast holes with this stuff that looks like a fence and heavy nylon fabric. Without it, chunks of concrete would fly out into the street in every direction. It's the night before the blast, and the security around the apartment is tight. There's a definite buzz in the air as people gather around to watch the blast, kind of like a big sporting event. Jim and his crew are double and triple checking everything to make sure nothing goes wrong. And I've been asking since I got here if I can hit the trigger. And guess what? They're agreeing to let me do this. A perfectly clean blast, not even as much as a broken window to the house next door. As they say in the business, time to blow and go. The dust here is getting a little too thick. That's the end of the show for this week.
Now it's time to relax. Man, look at the prices up here.
Well, what are you gonna have?
Well, I don't know. I only think I can afford one French fry.
Well, at least we get a great view.
Yeah, I guess that's what we're paying for.
See you next time.
Bye!